Greetings, friends and enemies. It is still Friday the 13th of April in the year of our Lord Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer, 2018. Bumping out another episode. Yes, I got a martini here. We're back in Martiniville. This one is made not with the typical Plymouth, which is the official gin of the Seneca Libertarian Society. This is made with Spring 44 gin. Spring 44 is a local gin distillery located over in Loveland. So I finally got around to grabbing a couple of bottles of their gin and testing it out. This is the first martini I've made with it, so I am not yet prepared to pass judgment. It'll take a few shots before we have a determination. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a safe space. There will not be a safe space on the podcast today. There will be triggering. Either you are wrong or I am right. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. Thank you. Thank you very much. The millions. The millions go wild. Greetings, my friends. This is Stating the Obvious Podcast, and it is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile my intellect homes in on and destroy statists all around the world. Today, we will be targeting the social justice warrior, because, you know, we never pick on social justice warriors around here. That never happens. As you know, because you listen to the Great One on a regular basis, as you know, the Great One has a thing for Supergirl. And the Great One reads the Supergirl comics. It's one of the only three comics I subscribe to anymore, because most of them have gone to shit. Well, Supergirl went to shit a while ago, but it has sunk. Okay, guys, look. Listen. They're not even being subtle about this anymore. Subtlety is gone, okay? And I know some of you out there want to cling to this thing that there's not this drive in modern society pushed by academians and leftists and the fucking mud people and the parasites to exterminate white people. I know that's what you desperately want to think. And I don't know why you can't see this around you. Maybe it's institutionalized stupidity or something. I don't know. Maybe it's something in the water. Maybe you're just a bunch of self-hating white people. I don't know what your fucking problem is. But the last three issues of Supergirl, the subtlety is gone. The subtlety is gone. So is the good artwork, two out of three times. So come with me. Come with me as a little voyage. So I take you through issues 18, 19, and 20 of Supergirl. Got to take these out of the bags. Yeah, I put them in bags to protect them because I know what I'm doing. By the way, in case this is your first day here, I am the Great One himself, the founder of the Seneca Libertarian Society. Been podcasting for 13 years. I'm right. I'm always right. I've always been right. I will always be right. I have never been wrong. And if anything that happens today offends you, you can send me your fucking whining little snivelly messages at God. That's dog spelled backwards. God. It's CYNLIBSOC.com. And if you love me and if you think I'm the shit, you can send me your fan mail also. Which, once I get around to reading on the podcast, I like to save it up so I can do a bunch of fan mail at one time. And it sounds like I get a lot of fan mail. I really don't, because the kind of people who listen to this podcast are busy doing things. They don't have time to write emails to me telling me how fucking awesome I am. Because I already know how awesome I am. And I don't need you to stroke my ego. And you know that, because you're all sitting around going, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. The guy's right. All the fucking time. But if I tell him that, he's just going to get even more fucking obnoxious and arrogant and cocksucking. So I'm just not going to say a fucking word. That's a good move on your part. I don't blame you. I wouldn't fucking tell me I'm doing a good job either, because I want to hear my fucking shit.
Yeah, man, I know. I know I'm right. I've been right for 13 years.
Oh, shut the fuck up. Shut up already. No one gives a fuck that you've been podcasting for 13 years, you fucking loser. Shut up. Go get a girlfriend. That's what I would tell myself. And I'm spilling martini. Hang on. If I had a girlfriend right now, I'd tell her, bitch, lick that off the ground. I'd say, no, you wouldn't. Yeah, I would. That's why I don't have a girlfriend. All right. Ah, okay. Issue 18 starts off. They're at a party. And this alien comes in, flies through the ceiling, starts tearing everything up. The artwork in this issue is not very good, in my opinion. It's not my style. All right, so the alien's flying around. Kara is there in her Linda Danvers, what do you call it, secret identity. So she ducks into a photo booth. And she turns into Supergirl, and she comes out, and she's beating up the alien. And while they're beating up, because, you know, we always have time to have these conversations while we're beating each other up. That's what I love about comic books. Everyone's beating each other up and having these in-depth conversations, like talking about philosophy and shit while they kick each other's asses. Okay, so the alien is telling this story. The alien has come here and is trying to kill Supergirl. Okay? And she's saying, the alien says, I'm here to save this world from your influence. You can call me the evolutionist. The alien is called the evolutionist, right? Because, well, those of us who think that there are different races of people, we say that different races of people evolved differently in different locations, and thus there are biological differences between the races. Now, the social justice warriors will say that there are no biological differences between the races. Now, if you ask them, is there a biological difference between an African elephant and an Asian elephant? Well, they'll say yes, because those two things evolved on different continents. If you said to them, well, we want to take all the African elephants and all the Asian elephants and interbreed them, they would be like, oh my God, you can't do that. You're destroying biodiversity. But when it comes to the human species, see, there is no biodiversity among humans to destroy, because there's no differences between the races unless you're one of those white supremacists who believes in evolution. Now you see, the alien is white. I don't mean the alien is a Caucasian person. The alien is a biped humanoid with a head and ears, pointed ears, and no nose, but two eyes and no hair. But the alien's skin is white. The alien continues to talk about philosophy as the alien and Supergirl beat each other up and throw each other through, you know, walls and roads and all this other stuff. The alien says, you have no clue of the damage you do to these people. Your strength means no, blah, blah, blah. You will leave this planet with me. I will cleanse this planet of your contagion. Much as, you know, Adolf Hitler wanted to cleanse the Jews. See, we're being very subtle here. The white alien is an evolutionist and wants to cleanse the planet of Supergirl's contamination. Now, why is this, you wonder? Well, see, fortunately, the alien is telepathic and so can telepath with Supergirl and give Supergirl all of these visions of the alien's past. So see, what happened on the alien's planet See, I came from a world even more advanced than Krypton. Our society had evolved past the petty squabbles that racked our history. So it was a socialist paradise where everybody had a universal guaranteed income. Nobody worked for a living. The alien goes on, I taught at our greatest university. A teacher! A scientist and a teacher. Okay, we're not being subtle here. There's no subtlety. The alien, I had a family. Offspring, because you can have a family without offspring, I suppose. The future was full of promise for my people, for me, until the Zigor missionaries arrived. Oh, they came in peace. They had the best intentions like you. But they did not know the pathogens their body held, benign to them, deadly to us. So you see, they had this wonderful utopia of white people. And then their missionaries, the religious missionaries, came to the society and they came in peace. You know, kind of like Muslim immigrants. In the picture here, the aliens that came in peace, guess what color they are? Well, they're brown. There's no subtlety. And then, because of the contamination that the brown aliens brought, the white species sunk into decline and they were all infected and they all died except for her because she was a teacher and a scientist. That's not real. They don't say that's the reason. I'm being facetious. And thus, the evolutionist, because of what brown aliens did to her society, she is now traveling through space to other planets and going to those planets, and any aliens on those planets, she is removing the contamination by killing those aliens and taking them off of those planets so as to maintain the purity of the species native to that planet. Because subtlety is completely overrated. But wait, there's more. So they fight some more, and we gotta fight some more, and then the alien, what's the word I'm looking, not telepath, telepaths. Yeah, she telepaths into Supergirl's brain and sees Supergirl's memories about how Supergirl is changing her attitudes and opinions based on interacting with Earth people. And now the white, racist, evolutionist alien who wants to implement the final solution suddenly has this change of heart. And the white alien says, You're not changing them. You're letting them change you. This I didn't account for. This outcome, somehow I missed it. You've given me much to consider, Supergirl. This discussion is not over. And then the white, racist, white supremacist alien flies away. You see, you're letting them change you. You see, when the Muslims come here, they're not going to infect ugly. Okay, for those of you who are slow, Supergirl is representative of the Muslims. See, the white supremacist alien wants to eliminate Supergirl because it thinks Supergirl / Muslims are a threat. But then the white supremacist alien realizes that, no, wait, the Supergirl / Muslims, why, they're changing to fit into the established society. Supergirl is changing to fit in with humans. See, the Muslims are going to change to fit in with the United States. And you white supremacists, see, you've got it wrong. You didn't account for this. The alien flies away. The party is over. As always, the human, there's some human government agency. They're called something. I even know. I don't give a shit. They're always trying to arrest the superheroes. So there's this, once again, and they're always women. There's this dumb woman with a machine gun and short hair, of course, standing here pointing the gun at Supergirl, going, "Supergirl, I'm arresting you." It's like, well, then again, you're a woman. You're not very smart. No, I'm pretty sure you're not going to arrest Supergirl. I don't give a shit how many guns you have. She's Supergirl. Okay? Faster than a locomotive. Stop fucking bullets. Fly. Heat. Okay? I don't think Supergirl gives a shit about your fucking gun. But you're a woman. You're not very bright. And you're just doing what your superiors told you. So Supergirl just tells her, go fuck off and die. The Supergirl's nicer than that about it. Supergirl flies away and goes and gets back into her Linda Danvers secret identity and goes back to her boyfriend that she came to the party with. Not her boyfriend yet. They just went to the party together. All right. Everybody remember, what color is Supergirl? Well, she's white. Therefore, what color would the man she goes on a date with be? Of course he's black. Because in the comic books, all white female characters must be either man-haters, lesbians, but I repeat myself, or having sex with black men. One thing you are not allowed to show in a superhero comic book is a white woman in a relationship with a white man. So now there's a page of them trying to flirt with each other. And now there's another. Now they drive to the outskirts of the city and they go to the beach. And it's like, oh, I remember you thought the dance was a distraction. Oh, my God. I'm going to puke. It's like a Harlequin romance. Now there's another page. They're walking down the beach together and she's wearing his coat. And oh, he's white knighting and it's like a Harlequin romance. And now he's like, well, would you like to dance with me? And now they're dancing on the beach and we flip the page and now they're shoving their tongues down each other's throats. So now it's official. Yeah, well, no, it's not official. Now, next page, they wake up on the beach in the morning where they slept next to each other. Now it's official. The white Supergirl is banging a black guy. Flip the pages. More advertisements. Is any of this relevant? Nope. Okay, and then here's our cliffhanger for the next episode. Okay, so there we go. We got the white supremacist alien wants to cleanse the infection of the invaders, but then just doesn't realize how wonderful the Muslims are and how they're going to adopt to our society. And then the pretty little blonde, blue-haired white girl starts banging a black guy. Lovely. No subtlety. No subtlety at all. Issue 19 of Supergirl. Now this one has really good artwork. And the artist on this one is somebody named Jamal, I think that's correct pronunciation, J-A-M-A-L, Jamal Campbell is the artist. The art is kind of pastel-y and watercolor-y with lots of blending of the colors. It's really good art. This is the kind of art that I like. This is what I fucking read comic books for. You don't see it very often. So we start off and there's Supergirl flying through the air and then we see there's Bones. And then here's the strong, independent, blonde-haired woman talking to... So Bones is the bad guy. He's a superhero-ish guy. He's a whatever. He's a skeleton. He's a walking skeleton and he secretes cyanide. And he's in charge of the agency that's trying to arrest Supergirl. I don't really understand it even though I read the comic because it's just kind of dumb. Once again, she's Supergirl. What are you going to do? You're going to put her in a fucking cell? Anyhow, and then what's Superman going to have to say about that? Well, you think he's just going to go along with it? Well, maybe he is. Maybe Superman's a cuck. I don't know. Anyhow, so there's a blonde chick, and she's threatening Bones on the phone. She's going to come kick his ass because, oh, she's strong and independent. All right, so now we flip over. Supergirl's black boyfriend is meeting with an individual who is, of course, black. And I'm not sure if the individual is a boy or a girl. The back of its head is shaved, and then there's a bunch of hair on top, and there's some hair flopping over to the front, and half of the hair is dyed blue. And they're talking, and they're sitting here in this fucking cafe, and they're talking, and the blue-haired whatever it is was, during a fight, rescued by Supergirl. And so now he's telling the story of how Supergirl killed the meanie that was going to kill him, her, it. And then Supergirl's like, hey, how are you? And he's like, hi, that was cool. My name's Lee. And she said, thanks, blah, blah, blah. And so anyhow, I'm reading. So Lee says he, she, it needs to go home. Supergirl says, yeah, no problem, but I'll be around if you need me. Because, of course, Supergirl doesn't have anything to do other than hang out with people of an undetermined gender who have blue hair. So then we go to the next page where it's Lee and Supergirl, and they're hanging out somewhere because, you know, Supergirl doesn't have anything to do. And Lee is talking, and Lee says this. Yeah, I want to. Feels like I'll explode if I don't tell someone. This is terrifying, and we're friends, right? So I can tell you? I'm different. Hold on. Half of your hair is blue and the back of your head is shaved. Really? You're different? There were no clues. Why, I thought you were totally normal. Lee continues. I don't feel like I'm a girl. Not because I don't like stuff that's for girls or whatever. I do. And not because I feel like I'm a guy. And I haven't told anyone else yet. And somehow they know at school. It's going to come out. And when it does, my parents will kill me. Yes, the people at school know that Lee can't figure out if Lee is a boy or a girl. Gosh, because Lee is so subtle. This is what Supergirl is doing with her time, right? Superhero, speeding locomotives, bullets, heat vision, invincible, fly, go through space, don't need... This is what she's doing with her time. There's nothing on Earth that needs to be taken care of. There's no problems. She's hanging out with trannies and providing them with mental health counseling. So she tells Lee some shit about how she came from Krypton and the parents love you and they don't want to hurt you and whatever happens, I'm there for you. Okay, next page, we see here's Lee, and Lee is trying to go into the women's room. Because we all know that trannies can't figure out which bathroom to use. We've been down this path before. Trannies existed long before we had to have laws about which bathroom to use. And the trannies somehow... Remember when I talked about in the podcast about the book about the iPhone, Sophie, the tranny who invented the fucking RISC chip and all that shit? When she was young and trannying and stuff like that, there were no laws telling her which bathroom to use, yet somehow she managed to figure out which bathroom to go into. How is it that it used to be trannies could figure out which bathroom to use, and now they can't? You gotta have a fucking law about it. So Lee is trying to go into the women's bathroom. And Lee and the antagonist shows up. The antagonist says, creeping around the girls' locker room, you lost, bro? No, it's not like, because we talked about this already, you know you don't belong in there. You're trying to snap pictures in there, huh? You got some weird stuff going on. Whatever you think it is, just don't shove it in our faces. I catch you here again, I'll make sure you're never able to bother the girls ever. So you see, the boy is trying to get into the women's locker room because he's confused. He can't figure out if he's a boy or a girl. But then the antagonist shows up and accuses him. See, this is what the white supremacists say about the trannies wanting to go in the bathrooms, right? Well, you're going in there because you want to take pictures of little children. You want to molest people. See, and that's the accusation that the antagonist is throwing at the Hesiod. See, we're not being subtle. But not being subtle. Who do you think the antagonist might be? Do you think he's a computer nerd? Do you think he's a woman? No, no, no. The antagonist is a jock. He's wearing the jock jacket. Now, what color do you think the antagonist is? Of course he's white. Take a wild guess. What color hair do you think the antagonist has? I can't make this up, guys. I cannot make this up. Of course it's blonde. Take a wild, wild guess. The antagonist who doesn't want the gender-confused Hesiod that has a penis going in the women's room because he doesn't want to see women getting harassed, molested, abused, hashtag me too, all this other stuff. What color eyes do you think he has? That's right, my friends. The oppressive white supremacist right-winger who doesn't think transsexuals exist is a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white man. Subtlety is totally overrated. Subtlety out the window. We do not need subtlety. Speaking of crap, on the page across from this, I see that we're rebooting Tomb Raider. Alicia Vikander is playing Laura Croft. At least it's not made by J.J. Abrams. All right, so now the tranny and Supergirl are hanging out again because Supergirl still doesn't have anything to do, and Supergirl is giving her some fucking more counseling advice about I look human, Lee, but I'm not. When I got here, I didn't know the language, and people were scared and hated me, blah, but it wasn't me. They were afraid of who I could be. Other people didn't got to know who I was, blah, blah, blah. And then Lee and Supergirl are shown here. They're cuddling with each other. Aww. So next, we see Lee, the Hesiod, is in a coffee shop with its parents. Because, of course, if you're going to tell your parents you can't figure out if you're a boy or a girl, you wouldn't do that at home in the privacy of your own home. You would go to a coffee shop and do it in public so you can get attention. Because that's what it's really about. Trannies are mentally ill people who want attention. And unlike Sophie, they cannot write the instruction set for a risk chip. And therefore, they go to coffee shops to tell their parents they can't figure out if they're boys or girls because they want attention. Mom looks like Michelle Obama. As far as I can tell from the illustrations, Mom is a black woman. The father, of course, is not black. As far as I can tell, I think he's Hispanic. Which is not a surprise because, as we know, black women are so fucking ugly that even black men don't want to have sex with them. While I may rail against black men banging white women, black men, I understand why you want to have sex with white women. I mean that. I'm not being a bastard. I completely understand why. They don't have the shitty attitude. They can speak English correctly, and they're way more attractive. I completely understand. Oh, I may not approve of it, but I understand it. I 100% understand it. And in that sense, I kind of do approve of it. It is one of those things where I am with ambivalent. I mean, on one hand, stop banging our women. On the other hand, I don't blame you for banging our women. It shows you're smart. Shows you're intelligent. You don't want to bang black women. It shows you've got some fucking sense. You are smarter than the average bear. Anyhow, Lee is talking to its parents. Mama, Papa. They wouldn't call their father Papa. Oh, God. Mama, Papa. I have something I want to tell you. I'm non-binary. Right, because your parents couldn't figure this out. Yeah, they live with you. Do you think your parents haven't figured out that you're confused about whether or not you're a boy or a girl? Do you think your parents are that fucking stupid? Well, maybe they are. They're... Oh, God, I'm trying to control... Fuck it. They're not white, so how smart can they be? Statistically speaking, their IQs are lower than white people and Asians, so maybe they can't figure out that you're non-binary. Oh, God, Great One, that was racist. The Great One doesn't give a fuck. The Great One is fucking tired of giving a fuck. My God, we have to pretend that reality isn't real. I am sorry. Black people, statistically speaking, lower IQs. All the countries filled with black people, shitholes. And it's not because white people colonized them 300 years ago, okay? It's because they're dumb and they can't stop fighting with each other. Fucking Christ. Lee is saying to Mama and Papa, I'm non-binary. It's not something I can change. And I don't really think I'd want to if I could. My whole life, really, whenever I got called a girl, it felt wrong. Not that girls are bad, but more like how when you put on a sweater that doesn't quite fit, you know? But if I get confused with a guy, it definitely feels wrong too. Like being either one feels like something's missing. It's why I've been fighting at school. They hate it, but I can't hold it inside anymore. I have to be honest. I have to, even if you hate me too. And then, of course, the mama and the papa, they grab the little fucking tranny freak. No, we still love you. It doesn't matter. Because we made you and your DNA is fucked up. So if we make another one, it'll probably be fucked up too. And it's too late to abort you. All right, so then we go along and then a little tranny goes back to school. And now the blue-eyed, blonde-haired, Aryan, racist Nazi is... harassing the tranny again, and Supergirl, because Supergirl has nothing important to do, shows up to defend the tranny from the Aryan Nazi. Oh my God. And then, of course, we find out the Aryan Nazi, his parents are getting a divorce. And it's like, well, see, you only hate trannies because your parents are getting a divorce. You're just projecting. Right, you're not really mentally ill like the tranny is. No, you're just projecting because your parents are getting a divorce. And then Supergirl picks up the tranny and they fly away and they sit on the top of a building and they talk about their feelings. And Supergirl tells the tranny how she will always be the tranny's friend. Ah. And then the story goes back to real time where the tranny is talking to Supergirl's black boyfriend who is a journalist who works for a company called Catco, which is, of course, run by a woman. And the journalist's boyfriend writes an article about Supergirl called Supergirl, an Indestructible Shoulder, which is all about Supergirl giving mental counseling to the tranny. And thus endeth issue 19. Let us move forth to issue number 20, in which we will find possibly the most offensive thing yet. Not necessarily offensive, the most unrealistic thing so far. The most out of touch aspect of all of this. So there's some stuff happening with Bones again, because we got to do the Bones thing. Now, Supergirl is talking to her boyfriend, Ben. But of course, now remember, the boyfriend doesn't know that Linda Danvers, who he's banging, is Supergirl. So Supergirl is telling Ben that she and some other heroes, they're getting the lowdown on Bones. And they're going to go and they're going to rescue this one chick that Bones has captured and is holding hostage. And then they've got data on the inside, you know, kind of like WikiLeaks or something like that. And they've got this data and they're going to release it. And it's going to reveal that the Russians hacked the election. I mean, that Bones is a bad guy, right? So this is the Russian hacking part. They're going to show that Bones is a bad guy. And Supergirl is telling Ben, Supergirl's black boyfriend. Oh, wait, I missed. Hold on. It's in the previous issue. I have to back up a second. I fucked up because I was skipping ahead. Last page of the previous issue, Ben is in his very large apartment where apparently he lives by himself. He's got a giant big screen TV and his computers, and it's a very spacious apartment with a whole lot of furniture. And he's on the phone talking to his mother. And the mom on the phone is saying, blah, blah, blah. Mom says, "What are you worried about, dear? Is something wrong with your apartment? Did you not get our check for the month?" He says, "Not everything can be solved with a check, Mom." So hold it. His mom is worried there's something wrong in Ben's life, because Ben's talking about some stuff. And she says, "Is there something wrong with your apartment? Did you not get our check for the month?" Our check. Mom's check. Okay. Ben is a journalist for a news corporation, Catco. And his mommy is paying for his apartment. This is who Supergirl is banging. Oh, you can't pay, your mom pays for your apartment. Wow, I think I'll spread my legs for you. That's so alpha. Okay, so back to issue 20. It starts off, we're in Ben's apartment. Supergirl's at Ben's apartment that his mommy is paying for, talking to him, and she's telling Ben that she's going to get this information, and she's going to bring the information, she's going to transmit the information to Ben, and it's up to him to release it to the world. And here Ben is saying, "So basically, I'm the key to making sure the world knows what the DEO has really been up to." The DEO is the evil government organization run by Bones that is trying to oppress the superheroes. And this is the most far-fetched piece of bullshit. The idea that a mainstream journalist is actually relevant in any way whatsoever. No, son, you're a fucking... You have a journalism degree and your mom is paying for your apartment. You are not the key to anything. You are here in this comic book because it was necessary to have Supergirl having sex with a black man, and because people like the people who write Supergirl are desperate to create the impression that mainstream journalism is still relevant. And that is more laughable than everything else. The white supremacist, evolution alien, the fucking blonde-haired, blue-eyed Nazi beating up the tranny. I mean, all of that is ridiculous and insulting and fucking shallow and not subtle and anti-white. But this is the stupidest thing of all. The idea that mainstream journalism is fucking relevant to anything. I mean, how desperate are you fucking people to shove this bullshit down people's throats? All right, we go forward. Here in the DEO headquarters, DEO stands for Department of Extra Normal Operations. We're here in the DEO laboratory. And the woman that is going to be rescued, she's in the chair and strapped down and she's being tortured. And the long-haired blonde chick who is threatening Bones over the phone from earlier, she's getting ready to break in. So meanwhile, back at Ben's apartment, something happens in the street outside. I don't know what this has to do with anything. There's this chick. Of course, it's a chick. Of course, the bag, it's a chick. Which is okay. I mean, I'm reading Supergirl to see drawings of hot chicks in weird outfits. I mean, that's kind of the fucking point of comic books, right? So this chick with a giant battle axe and horns shows up. Well, she doesn't have horns. She has a helmet with horns. It's not Thor, but she shows up and now she's beating people up. So Supergirl has to go fight her. I think this is a tangent. Meanwhile, back at the DEO headquarters, the long blonde-haired woman, who I don't know who she is, she breaks in. She's got this big werewolf-looking guy with her. They break in. Bam, they're shooting some people. They get over here. They rescue this one guy. Then they go and they rescue the chick that needs to be rescued. And as soon as they get the chick out of the chick who is in the chair and the blonde-haired chick, they're both white, grab each other and shove their tongues down each other's throat. Because what is the number one rule? Every white woman in a comic book must either be a feminist, hate men, be a lesbian, but I repeat myself, or be having sex with a black man. And of course, these two white chicks are lesbians. Because we cannot have a white woman having sex with a white man in the fucking superhero universe. We can have Nazis beating up trannies in the school hallways and Supergirl taking time out of her busy day to intervene, but we can't have a white woman banging a white man. Meanwhile, we go back to Supergirl's fighting the weird chick in the street and they're doing their thing. And the art in this issue is back to being not very good. There's at the very end, there's this full page picture of Supergirl flying through the air, which is absolutely terrible. It's like it's just terrible. Her face looks like she just came out of Botox surgery or something like that. It's just where do you find these? Who told these artists that they have talent? Who? I mean, if you're gonna shove this propaganda down my throat, could you at least get somebody with some fucking talent? Like whoever, like the guy who drew issue 19, could you get him to stick around? Because he was fucking good. So meanwhile, the lesbian chicks are cleaning out the DEO headquarters and somehow they transmit the data to Ben and Ben puts the data. There's giant screens on the side of the skyscrapers in whatever city they're in. And the fucking screen lights up and it says this, DEO deceived, DEO director in league with alien terrorist, Supergirl targeted, DEO illegal experiments revealed. Director Bones deceived. Supergirl framed. You know, that's the fucking Russian collusion angle. And so this happens, and so now Bones is, because Bones was in all of this fighting too with the fucking Axe Girl and Supergirl, and now they're doing some stuff, and there's some people beating some stuff up, and then it comes to this kind of weird resolution, and now we got these people over here, and then Ben is over at Linda's house hanging out with her, but then, oh, Ben's got to run away to go meet with Supergirl, and then Supergirl comes on the fucking big screen TV on the side of the skyscrapers, and she's like, hi, I'm Supergirl, and I'm not perfect, but I believe in social justice and I'm banging a black guy. No, that's not really what she says. But she gives a little inspirational speech and that's it. I mean, what the fuck? It's completely unsubtle. No goddamn subtlety. Great. Great one. Why do you keep reading this shit? Because it gives me fucking podcast material. That's why. Fucking Christ. All right. And that's that. Motherfucker. What's next on this show? What I got over here? I got nothing over there. Let me go find some. Yes, because it fits right in. All right, so I've got this stack of National Geographics that my left-wing statist, communist, white person-hating mother sends me. Here, this is from National Geographic. Coloring outside the lines. Boom, thack, pow. Diverse superheroes are giving old stereotypes a beating. As comic book and graphic novel sales in North America cracked $1 billion in 2015, not because more of them were being sold, but because the price is being raised. See, notice how the statistic is presented. Well, they cracked $1 billion in sales. Okay, but that doesn't tell us anything about... I mean, you could sell one comic book for $1 billion, or you could sell 1 billion comic books for $1. Right? That doesn't tell us anything about volume. Non-traditional characters, racial and cultural minorities, women, LGBT figures are becoming major players. Some heroes in this inclusive pantheon are new, but well-known characters and brands are also getting a makeover. Marvel now has a black Spider-Man and a female Thor, and nobody's reading them. Archie Comics multiracial character Harper is disabled. DC's Wonder Woman recently officiated at a lesbian wedding. Right, because we're not being subtle anymore. There's no subtlety involved here. Industry analyst Milton Gripp says, once marginalized groups started appearing regularly in mainstream comics about 10 years ago. What? Hold on, this is not a sentence. Industry analyst Milton Gripp says once marginalized groups starting appearing regularly in mainstream comics about 10 years ago. That's not a complete sentence, because something should come after that. Jesus fucking Christ, does anybody proofread anything? The rise of manga, with its heavily female readership, and the recent superhero films of Hollywood have been a catalyst for change, he says. So have shifts in popular culture, law, and demographics. Demographics, okay. And the ubiquity of the internet. It's not the first time superheroes have evolved. In fact, the latest changes are part of a continuum, says Ramsey Fwans, author of The New Mutants, Superheroes and the Radical Imagination of American Comics. In the 1950s and 1960s, writers and artists mirroring and grappling with social upheaval began to feature outcast and counterculture figures. In the following decades, identity politics and environmental issues joined the fray as well. Today, diverse characters have diverse creators. Steve Orlando, a bisexual writer, says his gay superheroes, Midnighter and Virgil, aren't just trailblazers. They're also, quote, human and relatable, unquote. Quote, people tell me that Midnighter gave them the strength to be who they are. Some had waited their whole life for a character that looked like them. And that's what everyone deserves, a Peter Parker-style moment where you say, hey, that guy's just like me, and that guy's a hero. Maybe I could be a hero too, unquote. Some had waited their whole life for a character that looks like them. What's it like? This is a question for all you non-binary and trannies and fucking fags and freaks and pieces of shit. What's it like to be such a fucking loser that you wait your entire life? You hold back your entire life waiting for someone to create a comic book character who looks like you. And suddenly then you can go actually maybe consider doing something of value. Did Sophie sit around and say, well, you know what? I could write the instruction set for a RISC chip, but I'm not going to do it until some fucking faggot draws a comic book character that's also transsexual like I am. No, Sophie just went out and did the fucking thing. Who are you fucking people that you can't live your goddamn worthless little lives? And believe me, I would love it if you weren't living your lives. For the stupid people, I mean, if you were dead. But who the fuck are you that you can't live your goddamn life unless there's a goddamn comic book character that looks like you? How fucking fragile and delicate and worthless is your fucking useless ego and your fucking senseless existence? If you're sitting around waiting for some fucking homo to draw a goddamn comic book character that looks like you. Then we have some examples. We got Prodigy David Allien, a superhero with powers of mimicry, said he was bisexual in the 2013 issue of Young Avengers. I bet he was getting bisexual with the Young Avengers, because pedophilia is totally okay. What is this? Oh, Luke Cage, this black social justice hero, got his super strength in 1972 after a wrongful conviction for incarceration. Oh, so if you get wrongfully incarcerated, you gain superpowers. Really? That's interesting. Kyle and North Star, married to Kyle Jenadu, the super swift Jean-Paul Babur became in 1992 the first openly gay superhero. Danny Moonstar, a fierce Native American hero who didn't do anything to save her people from the whites. Since 1982, she's part of an all-female team called the Fearless Defenders. Oh, a bunch of women. Hey, if you have to call yourself fearless, honey, you're probably not. No more than you're all strong and independent. There's your dose of rage for the day. Social justice!